Talk about a fun one. Baroth and Marcelo are here, and they're going to talk about Ansible and everything that's going on the Ruckus side that they're putting together, all the hard work that they put into it. And they've really done a great job of getting, you know, individual packages out there and going through this information so that we can understand how simple and easy Ansible can really become to deploy in our environments and work with. And it, in fact, encouraged me enough to where that's going to be the content of the live stream on YouTube tomorrow. So if this is of interest, tune in tomorrow, check that out. But here they are. Enjoy it. This is a fun one. Gentlemen, it's amazing to have you here. Thanks for joining. How's everybody doing?
Doing well. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Good. So, okay, this is, I've had long, in-depth conversations with a lot of my friends are in this industry. You know, some work in operations roles. Some of them work in more leadership, executive roles. And we talk about automation and Ansible a lot. And so I know that, you know, you sit down and you think about it and you have to have requirements, like you need to have some security overlay in there and you've got to have, you know, SSH built and things like that to really make it make sense. But I think, and Baroth, this question is mainly for you to start out with, is when you first kind of got pulled into the Ansible world, what were the main benefits that you saw immediately that would benefit people from this?
Sure. So first of all, I want to, you know, give you an introduction as to why we picked Ansible. You know, like networks today essentially underpin and enable everything IT. And going forward, the businesses are starting to rely heavily on things like cloud services, IoT, edge services, and I think you can agree with me that this will be the trend going forward. And today, network teams have primarily focused on increasing the availability and the agility of the network by providing, you know, adequate infrastructure improvements. So that's all they've been doing, you know, just building the network, making it better and beefier and, you know, robust, redundancy, you know, anything you can think of. That's what network teams have been doing today. But looking forward for the future success, the focus for us is, you know, how to manage these network operations and how to perform it at a faster pace. So that'll be the focus for 2020 and beyond. That's what I think. And automation and orchestration will just do exactly that, right? And I also looked up a network management survey that was done and that's available on the web, and most of the users or the network engineers today, you know, they still use CLI. About 70% of the folks who responded to this survey use CLI, and then next one up on the list, about 10% of the folks use, you know, network management services or a network management system. In our case, it would be, you know, Smart Zone. And then the third one up is a GUI-based system, so anything that has a GUI, manage it through the GUI. And last but not least is the network automation tool. So very few folks even use the network automation tool. So Ansible is a solution for all of this, right? The reason we picked Ansible is because it's open source. And it can also automate anything from network devices. It could do cloud provisioning. It can do configuration management and pretty much anything that you can think of. And it's agentless, and it does not need a custom security infrastructure. It's easy to deploy, and it's most importantly, it's free. That's why everybody likes it. It's simple. And the playbooks that are written on Ansible are pretty much written in plain English. So I think that's one of the main reasons we picked Ansible. And so far, we've seen, you know, good traction from some of our customers. So it's going well so far. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, Ansible is very heavily documented. It's very well documented. It's open source. It's very broad. And when we look at it, you know, I guess my question, and I think that the first question that people look at, especially network operators, we'll call them, right? The guys that are in, guys or gals that are in there, you know, day in, day out managing the network. And they want to migrate into something like this. First of all, you have to have a use case that you can sell them on, right? I mean, and we know what those are because you can, my whole thing with it is you take networks at scale and you bring something like this into it, you just completely simplified your life, right? 4 hours just turned into a half hour, you know, in a lot of cases. But from your standpoint, as people kind of start looking at this stuff and wanting to bring this stuff into their environments, what are the things that they really need to know and be prepared for before they get to that point? On the ICX side, we're going to go into, you know, more pieces of this later, but just on that piece alone right now, what do they need to have?
Nothing. All they need is an SSH connection into the ICX. That's pretty much it. That's all they need. And you need a server to run, you know, your environment where Ansible is running. So essentially, your server would be your control node, and then your ICX is a managed node, and a simple SSH connection between the server and the ICX. That's all you need. And pretty much, you know, you install the package that we provide, which supports whatever configs or modules that you need. You install that package into your server and use the playbooks to run these packages.
Yeah, it's really slick how well it's built. I mean, the reset scripts that we use and that I use in the labs that I use, they are, I said I use a lot there. I don't know why. I'm using just YAML playbook files and then a Python script, which is fine. What I'm going to do, and this will be something that we do through Ruckus Live on the live streams every Wednesday, is we'll start to bring that in and showcase it as well. So probably the first piece I'll do with it is to do that ICX piece and really kind of show that off and what we're doing with it. But Marcelo, I know we've talked before and especially at length on APIs, and I know you're the API genius wizard guru. So when you both sat down and started looking at the Ansible pieces, what were the pieces that you guys were looking at to put together to work in unison? Because you have all these different things that have to talk to each other. How are you guys interfacing in what you're doing every day with the automation piece?
Thank you, Matt. Yes, we were trying to do integrations using Ansible. And the beauty of Ansible is that you can use other connection methods. So Bharat was talking about SSH, so that's what we use to connect to ICX. But Ansible also provides a more generic REST API-based connector. So I can create a Python module, an Ansible Python module, using REST to connect, let's say, to a SmartZone or CloudPath. So we can, create separate playbooks using SSH for ICX, using REST for the SmartZone and CloudPath, and we can do interesting things, tying those three products together. So that's the beauty and the flexibility of Ansible. But running the playbooks alone by themselves is kind of messy and ugly. Actually, not investigating frameworks like Ansible AWX, so it's also open source. And using AWX, you can create workflows. So I can tie the playbooks together. So I can tie the playbooks together, defining some logic, success or fail iterations. So the idea is to use that to do integrations. Let's say I want to create an end-to-end solution, including ICX, SmartZone, CloudPath, and I want to create the WLANs on the SmartZone, the correct VLANs, and maybe ACLs on ICX, and maybe get a DPSK pool from CloudPath. So I can automate everything and provision everything using a workflow on Ansible AWX. So all those specific playbooks will run using the correct connections to ICX, SmartZone, and CloudPath.
So what you're telling me is I'm a knucklehead because I just manually did a software upgrade on 40 ICX devices, and I should have had Ansible up and running in that environment to just make my life completely easier.
Yes.
I kind of did it on purpose so that when we got on here and talked about it, you guys could actually call me an idiot and be completely right.
you're not dead. So actually, Bharat and the ICX team, they are well advanced on Ansible. So the rest of Rukus is playing a little catch up. So I'm trying to create Ansible playbooks for the smart zone now. But with ICX, you can define, actually for any playbook, you can define an inventory. So if your inventory contains all of your ICX, the playbook will run over all devices.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So could you take, I'm asking you, you guys are so advanced with this, and I haven't even, so I had exposure to Ansible probably a year and a half ago, maybe. It was probably 2 years ago. I was first introduced to it at a conference where it was held by Internet2. And they deal with higher ed. And what higher ed was doing is they were spinning up resources, you know, ad hoc as they needed them. And they were using Ansible to do it. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. And because most of my exposure is on the ICX side, we didn't have the Ansible playbooks there yet. And so I didn't pull anything into it. But now we're looking at things like where you can manage your ICX devices through SmartZone and things like that. I mean, is this something that playbooks, you just sit down, you build them out, you want to pull all this stuff in, is it gonna kind of build that end-to-end solution for you just through a playbook?
No, the playbook is kind of a library of functions, library of things that you can do. So you have the playbook, you have the ML script where you define exactly what you want to do. Let's say create a VLAN, add interfaces on ICX, and in another playbook for the smart zone, I want to create a WLAN with a particular security type. So I have those two separate playbooks, and then I have to run the playbooks against the hosts. So there is some basic configuration, basic settings to be done, but if you have repetitive tasks, that's a great tool to use. I wouldn't use that for a one-time configuration, but if I have lots and lots of ICX to configure, or if I have a smart zone where every day I need to create a new WLAN, that makes sense to create some automation using Ansible.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the things that I end up harping on this, but this is something that was drilled into my brain very, very early in my networking career, right? And it was really focused on standards and best practices, right? You want to have things standardized. And so when you look at, you know, one of the biggest advantages I see to it is it makes building those standards really, really simple, because now you just take your playbooks, you put it together, and it could be interface descriptions. It could be naming on VLANs. It could be a multitude of things, you know, to do that sanity check and just make sure that everything is set up and correct and right. I really like the idea of it, because this is, and I tell people this in classes that I teach all the time, I'm like, you guys are spoiled. You have things like DHCP snooping, and now you have Ansible automation and things like that. And we didn't have any of those things. We ended up with a spanning tree loop somewhere. It was somebody running around trying to find who bridged the network. And so it makes it really, really interesting when you see, you know, we as vendors and you guys as, you know, very intelligent people, you start to put these things together that remove those issues that existed before, right? And so it's really cool. I like seeing that, and I like seeing that advancement, because it's not simple cut and dry stuff. I mean, especially when you get into these networks that are huge. And I talk about wired networks that are really large. You want to talk about really large networks, look at wireless networks. I mean, you can have controllers with thousands of access points attached to them, and that's just compounding it even more, right?
Sure. What you just said also brings an interesting idea. Using Ansible, I can run show commands, and I can look for a given message, a given word. So let's say I run show span. I want to see if I have my interfaces in blocking mode or forwarding mode or whatever. And depending on the response, depending on what I see on a given interface, I can take an action. So I can proactive do a configuration change or send an email to someone because I'm seeing something strange in my ICX. So I can do that using Ansible.
Just to add to that, I think Marcelo pointed out pretty much everything. With Ansible, you can also add a timer, so you can essentially execute commands at a specific time. So if you want to do a maintenance or something, you can do that as well. Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, this is going to go up on the live stream probably next week, because I think I have enough time to get it built out and do it. And I want to be able to get everything to the point to where now, you know, you need certain software versions to be tied into Smart Zone for that management piece. So I think I have enough use cases, and I want to ask you guys about use cases in a second, but I think I have enough to put that together. So you definitely have my creative juices flowing, and I think it'll be a good thing to kind of show the world what's going on with it, and how well it integrates into what we have. But with anything, it's also, I mean, we all know that in the technology world, something that's new is not new after very long, right? So because it is still kind of new, are there a lot of roadmap items that come into this? I mean, are there things that you're looking at down the road that just improve it even further or give it more functionality, at least on the – so, Barath, I'll ask you on the ICX side first, and then, Marcel, I want your take on the wireless side as well.
Sure. So we first released our first package back in Q1 of 2019. So it had anything from, you know, creating banners to applying configurations to interfaces, IP addresses, getting system level information or static routes and things like that. So we had some basic functionality that was introduced in Q1 of 2019. So that'll actually set, you know, get everybody started and going. We also have a command or a config module. So with that config module, today you can pretty much do anything. You know, if you want to configure multicast or lag SSH, is pretty much anything, any command could be added into the config module, and you can apply that command. So that's what we have today. But down the line, we're also looking at some more use cases. So we want to, you know, add a module for quality of service. We want to do some add some modules for rate limiting and rate shaping. We want to introduce more playbooks so users can start, playing around more with these modules. Static routes, IPv6 static routes. Want to get into the IPv6 space because I know networks are, evolving and changing from IPv4 to IPv6. So that's some more modules planned for Q1 of 2021. And then in Q3 of 2021, we're looking at more use cases like MCT configuration. I saw you the other day on the live session where you were trying to configure MCT. So I could pretty much do all of this using Ansible. You know, I could bet that I could do it in half the time.
Well, then you should have seen the V6 config yesterday. It was painful.
Yeah. So that's where we want to get to. So we want to do more complex things like MCT, multicast, PIM, BGP, VRF, and things like that. So essentially, we want to make Ansible as easy as possible to perform more complex use cases.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love it. And so, Marcelo, real quick before I ask you your take on it, I just want to put this out there. I told Brian this morning because we were fighting through the ICX issues that I ran into on the IPv6 live stream and figured it out. But I told him, I said, it's weird because I feel like this hipster weirdo that's running around saying, I thought IPv6 cool was before you, but you're right. You're starting to see that transition and people are bringing it in. And so it's kind of like get ahead of the curve kind of thing because you know it's coming. And so it's great to see that. But yeah, it would be so much easier to be able to roll that stuff out in these environments and do that. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine last night. He started working at 10 o'clock. He didn't get done until 3 a.m. and they were configuring IPv6. So you take that automation piece and, well, guess what? Now you're working for an hour or two and you're done. So, yeah. Okay, so Marcelo, what about on your side, like roadmap stuff? Because you've got a little bit wider product set that you kind of have to deal with. You have a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know, I'm not responsible for any roadmap on the wireless side, but I'm trying to influence, maybe contribute. I take some time to learn the ropes and then build some samples, maybe POC-like. So right now I'm assessing the work required to produce, to write actually the playbooks and Python modules for the smartphone. So I have only two running right now. So as I said before, ICX is maybe 1 year and a half in front, ahead of everyone. Wireless, meaning smartphone, cloud path, they are strong on APIs, but no one has worked on Ansible for the wireless side. So we are just starting. So I'm working with Sorab Mathur from smartphone. So we're trying to come up with a strategy to write the Python modules and the playbooks. By the way, there are two components. So the Python modules are harder to write. They are the Ansible pieces that interface with the products. So all the calls, in the case of smartphone, all the API calls for a variety of functions need to be written there. And the playbooks are the user interface where you use YAML to tell the module to do such and such. So we are doing that for smartphone right now. We might extend that to cloud path. So with some luck, we might be able to put that in the roadmap. But as we speak, it's just our team in solutions engineering who is actually working on that. So we might hand that over to smartphone and the cloud path engineering in the future.
Well, you two should stop being so smart because I'm wholly convinced that there is a meeting or a phone call that happens somewhere and somebody hears a buzzword like Ansible and then they turn around and say, oh, those two are smart. They can do it. Just give it to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Blessing and a curse, right?
Yeah, but Ansible is a pretty good tool, but we need to go maybe one level higher because when you have lots and lots of different playbooks, in my case, I want to do integrations with different products, so it doesn't make sense to run the playbooks manually. So I need something to run the playbooks in sequence, evaluate the responses, go to the other playbook. So that's why we need also to consider a framework. So Ansible AWX is one, ENMS is another. It's also open source, and you can also run, define workflows graphically to tie not only Ansible playbooks together, but regular Python scripts or NetMiko scripts. There are several different services, microservices that you can create and tie them together using, well, ENMS mostly, but also Ansible. Ansible AWX.
Yeah, interesting. All right, so here's something I always like. You sit down and you start to put this stuff together and you're building this out. And I'm always surprised by what people can do with their networks, wired or wireless, like the things that they can put together, the ways they make it work, the things that happen with it. So when you look at whether it be, you know, the API stuff or the Ansible stuff, regardless of it, and I know you probably don't see like customers' everyday use cases, but so Bharath, has there been something that you've seen somebody do and perform with Ansible where you were kind of like, whoa, that's really cool. That's impressive. Have you seen that?
We actually are seeing a lot of that. we have a couple of customers now that are using Ansible and they like it so far, and they're doing some cool stuff. They, one of the customers out in Arizona in Phoenix, they pretty much run their entire network, and they not only have ICX but they also have other products. And like I mentioned before, they use this timing feature where you can pretty much time the script and to push that specific config onto each of the switches. They also do upgrades. They get config backups, and they put together these small bits of modules together into one large playbook. So they combine these small functionalities into one large playbook, and they pretty much run the entire network using our playbooks. So that's the cool thing about Ansible. So you don't have to individually just use that one specific playbook or module to run one specific function, but you can just put them all together and combine it into one giant playbook and run multiple functions across multiple devices.
Oh, that's really cool. What about you, Marcelo? You had any mind-blowing moments that you've seen?
Not yet, because on the wireless side, we're just beginning. So I know the field is asking for that, because we have large customers, MSPs, running still devices from our competitors, which support Ansible, wireless devices, wireless controllers. So we need to go after that market. So that's why I'm investing time trying to create playbooks for the smart zones. So we know that our customers using that to configure WLANs and everything around WLANs using Ansible playbook. So it's a very popular tool, and it's vendor agnostic. So we can mix and match products from several vendors.
That's really cool. Okay, so my plan right now is the live stream that this is, obviously these go up on Tuesday. So the live stream tomorrow will be focused around Ansible, assuming I can get everything built, all the infrastructure built in the lab. And this is your very fair warning that if anything trips me up or confuses the living daylights out of me, I'm going to call you and say, look at this, what just happened. So, but I want to showcase it. And now I think it makes sense to do that shortly following this, just because, I mean, it is really exciting. And there's been a struggle with the people I've talked to saying, well, how am I supposed to take a network engineer and turn them into an Ansible engineer? And I think that kind of showing the functions of it and how it works, I think should really help with them understanding and easing that transition. Because again, you have leaders and decision makers that see these things and see the cost savings and you know, they see the operational efficiency, but there's also parts of it where you don't see that there might be technical gaps there that you have to close. And I think the main message that you guys are trying to get out there is the technical gaps aren't as big as you might think they are.
That's right. And Marcelo has actually been doing a great job. He's been doing some training. He also got the GitHub page up and running for CommScope. So And he's, you know, we have we're posting all our playbooks and, you know, configs and things like that on GitHub. So I definitely would encourage people to look at Marcelo's documentation as well as check out the GitHub page.
Yeah, and I'll throw a link to that in the description. So Marcelo, if you don't mind, when we get into, shoot me an email with the GitHub link, because GitHub's awesome, and I'll put that in there so that everybody can access it, and then I'll also have that up during the live stream too. So that's awesome. Guys, I can't thank you enough. I know you're working your tails off. I know you're doing a lot of really cool stuff that we all appreciate. And I'm just happy to be a part of it and have a conversation with you and help showcase some of that stuff that you're doing. So thank you very much for what you're after and doing.
You're welcome.
Awesome. You're welcome. Thanks, Matt.
You got it. Thanks. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
You bet. See ya. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Ruckcast. If you just found us for the first time, be sure to follow or subscribe on your platform of choice so you can be notified of future episodes. If you have ideas for future episodes or can't find Ruckcast on your favorite platform, contact us at ruckcast@comscope.com. And as always, thanks for listening.